Joshua chapter 5, Joshua chapter 5. I will try not to die up here tonight. If I do, please don't let anybody on the front row except for Miss Linda give me CPR, please. Miss Charlene's down there too. But anyway, yeah, I know. But I'm more nervous about not being able to eat after midnight tonight and have to make it till 4:30 tomorrow. I'm more worried about that. And I do appreciate your prayers, and God knows all things, so everything's all right. Joshua chapter 5, talking about living in victory. And I think still today it's the same as I said last time, that too many Christians live in defeat. I've lived a lot of my life in defeat. And by the way, the reason we get defeated is because we get rebellious. All right? And when we get disobedient, but I'm telling you, you're right there with the Lord. You're in good hands. And we'll talk about that tonight. Joshua chapter 5 and verses 13 through verses 15. If you will, let's pray. Father, we love you. Thank you for the day. God, we thank you that you do give us a life that, Lord, we don't have to live in defeat. That, God, we can live a life of victory. And, Lord, we realize that the only way to live that life is to live it through you and live it in you. And God, I pray tonight that you would just help us see the truth of your word, and thank you for the life of Joshua, and thank you for, Lord, the things you placed in your word, God, that are true and that are inerrant. And Father, I ask that as I expound upon your word tonight, that your Holy Spirit would go into every heart, and Lord, it would clarify things maybe, Lord, that I don't say clearly. I pray that you would, Lord, just enlighten us through your word and through your Holy Spirit. I thank you again, Lord, and I love you in Jesus' name. Amen. Joshua chapter 5 and verse 13 through 15 says, "And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho, he lifted up his eyes and looked. And behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him," I like this, Joshua not knowing who this is quite yet. He says, "Art thou for us or for our adversaries?" Joshua's like, "Whose side are you on, basically?" And in verse 14, he says, "And he said, Nay, but as a captain of the host of the Lord, I am now come." Now, when the Lord Jesus said this, this is a pre-incarnation of the Lord Jesus. When he said that, it's amazing how the voice, he may not have recognized the exterior, but he recognized the authority of that voice. By the way, when Jesus began to speak in the temple, it said that he spoke with authority. He spoke like no other. In other words, just by hearing him speak, they understood that he was not just a normal man. And notice what happens when Joshua realizes that. "And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship." By the way, nowhere in the scriptures do you see worship of angels. Do you see worship of anything other than the Lord Jesus Christ? Amen. Joshua understood who this was. It says, "What saith my Lord unto his servant?" I love that. Verse 15 says, "And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, Loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place whereon thou standest is holy." And Joshua did so. By the way, the weird thing about this chapter is that it just ends right there. It doesn't say that this is what the Lord said to him, this is what's going to happen. It just said it ended that this is a holy ground. By the way, I've read some commentary, and I just trust the Holy Spirit of teaching me through this. But I believe this was not a place where the Lord Jesus left Joshua, but a place where the Lord Jesus was with Joshua and continued with Joshua. I believe that's why we don't have maybe more of the story, because the Lord Jesus began to be the captain and lead his people, as we'll see here in just a little while. But I want you to notice a few things tonight, and I hope they'll be a blessing to you. But in chapter 3 and chapter 4, we see them passing over. We see in chapter 5, them starting over. They redid circumcision in that. Non-believers were passed away at this time. There was no more manna. The food that they were eating, the manna in the wilderness, ceased, and they began to eat of the fruit of the land. And so this was a new beginning. By the way, when you enter into God's will, you enter into a new beginning of your life. Aren't you glad that you can come to the Lord Jesus Christ, ask Him to forgive you of your sin, and that He clears your slate every time you do that? He allows you to start over again. We don't have a God of just second chances. We have a God, I don't know which one I'm on, but I'm pretty sure it's triple digits, at least. Triple digits time triple digit, right?
I'm glad that He allows us to come. And Pastor says it all the time, that you can wake up in the morning and start the day afresh and anew and just keep plodding along and keep going on. I'm glad we serve that God. And by the way, God wants us to live a life of victory. Try not to get too excited tonight, but it's going to happen. But I'm just trying to postpone it for a minute or two at least. Because I'm telling you, this story is amazing, what we're going to talk about tonight. How the Lord worked in Joshua's life, but not just in Joshua's life, but you're talking 2 to 3 million Jews that He was working in through Joshua. And we see that He was wanting them to live in the land of Canaan. Why? Because that was the promised land. That was the land where God wanted them. That was the place of rest for them. And by the way, that's where God wants you tonight. And there again, I'll say it again, the promised land in the Bible is not a picture of heaven. If it is, when we get to heaven, we're going to have to fight battles. If we get to heaven, and you say that the land of Canaan is heaven, then there's going to be lost people up there. Because there was lost people in Canaan land. There were the Ites, everybody that had an Ite after their name, the Canaanites, the Jebusites, and all those people. But I'm here to tell you, this picture is a picture of us living in God's will. And by the way, where do you want to live tonight? I don't know about you, but I want to live in God's will. Amen. And when you live in God's will, you live in a life of victory. And I think tonight all of us would desire to live a life of victory. Let's look at a few things. We see some things. Number one tonight, how many points do I have? Trace, there we go. Number one, the Lord's partnership. We see the Lord's partnership in these verses 13 through 15. I want you to notice again what it says, that when Joshua looked, that in verse 13 he says, "And behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand." I want you to notice that the sword in the Lord Jesus' hand was not in a sheath. It was not in a. It was not put in a place of non-battle, but it was placed in a place of battle. And I want to tell you, when you enter into God's will, you're entering into, number one, the Lord's partnership. You're entering into a partnership with Him, where He said to Joshua in Joshua chapter 3 verse 10, and Joshua said, "Hereby ye shall know," and he's repeating what the Lord already told him, "that the living God is among you, and that He will without fail drive out from before you the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Hivites, and the Perizzites," that's what I call them, the Perizzites, "and the Gibeosites." And He said He's going to draw it out. He's going to draw them out. Why? Because we're in a partnership with the Lord. You say, how can I live a life of victory? You live a life of partnership with the Lord. Why? Because He told Joshua time and time and time again, "I'll fight for you. I'll go for you. I will fight this battle for you." Can I tell you tonight that no matter what you go through, and if you go through it with the Lord, you're in a great partnership. When I go tomorrow to have my wrist slit right there and a Roto-Rooter thing go up in there, I hope He cleans it off real good. You know what? Somebody asked me today, said, "Are you worried?" I said, "No, not worried. I'm worried about trying to make it to 4:30 without eating." But why? I mean, you know, there's always a little apprehension, humanistically speaking. But you know what? We go through things every day of our life. That if you get in a car and you drive and you make it to where you're going, I'm telling you, that's a hallelujah. And I'm saying that I when you go into surgery, when you go into a situation in your life, you don't go in it alone. You go into it with a partner, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. He was showing Joshua here that Joshua, he's standing there saying, "Joshua," go back to verse 15 or verse 14. He says, "Thou art for us," he said in verse 14, and he said, "Nay, but I'm the captain of the Lord's host," and I love this part. "The Lord, I'm the captain of the Lord, of the host of the Lord. I am now come." He says, "I'm here, Joshua. Joshua, I may have been in the distant in the wilderness. I may have been in the fire at night and the cloud by day. But Joshua, I'm here in person tonight, today, because Joshua, I'm going to fight for you." By the way, you try to fight a battle in your own strength, you will fail time and time and time again. You say, "How do you know?" Well, it's in the Bible, but I've witnessed it a few times in my life. The worst thing a Christian can ever say is, "I got this." You ain't got this. You ain't got nothing. You better just lay yourself prostrate on the altar of God and say, "God, use me. God, work through me. God, protect me," whatever the situation is that you're in. If you're ever going to live a life of victory, you better get with the one who is victory. And you better partner with Him. And by the way, when you partner with Him, He's not necessarily partnering with you. You're getting on His wagon, so to speak. You're getting close to Him. And boy, you read the Psalms, and David put it so perfectly in the book of Psalms several times. He says, "Lord, hide me under Thy wing." David was noticing that when he walked away from the wing of God and from the presence of God, that his life began to crumble. And when he knew he should have went to battle, when he knew that God had already prepared a path for him and he stayed behind, his life began to crumble. His life began to change. Why? Because he chose the partnership of the world instead of the partnership of God. And when you do, you begin to lose. How about you? But at the end of the day, I want to be victorious in my life. And the only way to be victorious in your life is through the Lord Jesus Christ. By the way, when you wait on the Lord's timing, you get the Lord's presence. Joshua had to wait on the Lord's timing in order to get the Lord's presence. Notice he told him to wait 3 days. By the way, one of the hardest things for me and you to do when living in the place of victory is to wait. I can't even say the word, right? Wait. Some of y'all looking at him. He's stroking out now. He can't talk. It's hard for us to wait. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles, and they shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Right? That's what the Lord is telling us, that we wait on Him. Joshua waited on the Lord, and when the Lord's timing, I love that verse in verse 14. He says, "I am now come." Why? Because now it's my timing. If Joshua would have said, "Let's go a day early," guess what? He would have went on his own. Most of us, we get ahead of God. Right? I know I do. I love this also. It says in verse 15, the last part of the verse there, it says, "And Joshua did so." That's obedience. See, when you're in the partnership with the Lord and living a life of victory, that is what we should do. And Michael did so. The Lord said, Michael did so. The Lord said, Joshua did so. That's a life of victory. We see that in number two I want to show you tonight. Go to chapter 6. I'm trying to hurry tonight. Joshua chapter 6. I love this. Joshua chapter 6 and verse 1. I want you to notice the Lord's plan. Not only are we in the Lord's partnership with Him, but also the Lord's plan. If you're going to live a life of victory, you got to go by His plan. I love coaching football. I don't know everything about football. Kai's up there and I'm down here somewhere. The one thing I love to watch the kids. I like doing the younger kids. And one thing I love is whenever you give them a play, and you say, "Here's the play. We've been studying this play. We've been working this play." And I'm on the sideline and I give them whatever signal we're doing that play. And then they do another play. God, it's like, "What are you doing?" Especially when it's your son. He comes to the sideline like, "What play was that?" He's like, "I didn't know what you were saying." I'm like, "Well, that's the reason they have the ball now and we don't." You know, because I saw something on the other side that they gave us a little gap here, and I wanted to run this play because it was going to that side where they had been leaving us a little gap. But you chose a play that went to the side where everybody else was going to, and you accidentally handed them the ball on the way through. You know, and sometimes I'm just like, "Look, we have a play. We have a plan. All we have to do is work the plan." And see, God has a plan for your life. By the way, God's plan for your life may not be the plan for Michael Wiggins' life. And God has a very distinct plan for your life. I don't care who you are, where you're at, but God's children, God has a plan for His children. This is His plan for your life. And our job is to just say, "Lord, what is Your plan?" and to follow that plan. When you follow that plan, you will live a victorious life. You will live that more abundant life. Now, I'm not saying every day of your life is going to be rosary. Unless you're Catholic, then your life will be rosary. And you have to go to penance every day of your life. But if you're a Baptist, it's rosy. Not rosy either. That's bad. Amen? So you got to stay in the middle of the road. Anyway, it's the medicine. I'm on. That's my new thing for everything. I told my wife today. She's like, I got a bad heart. I can't do that. Sorry. That's my new thing for everything nowadays. So anyway, the Lord's plan. Notice verse 1 of chapter 6. It says, now Jericho, don't miss this. Now Jericho was straitly shut up. In other words, the gates that were walled. I was going to try to show you a picture tonight, but the city of Jericho was kind of on a hill. There was a retaining wall and a wall on top of it. And then you go up on the hill more, then there was another, according to Answers in Genesis, and there was another wall up there. And then the city was beyond that. It was two wall. And these walls, I'm telling you, they're, you know, there's, as a matter of fact, I have the dimensions in here. I'll just give them to you real quick. So the wall was, the retaining wall at the bottom was 12 to 15 foot high. And they've done archaeological diggings and found this to be true. And then above the retaining wall was another 20 to 26 foot high wall. And it was 6 foot deep, thick. So this is a big wall. You're looking up 26 foot. And then the hill goes on up there. And beyond that, there's another 6 foot thick wall that would have been 46 foot above ground level at that point. So we're not talking about hopping over a fence at a playground. We're talking about something that God was going to have to do. In other words, they had shut all of the gaps. They had put a watch. Why? Notice the next part of this verse. Because of the children of Israel. They're looking out there and they're seeing the children of Israel coming in to the south side of the Canaan land. And if you keep going north, you head on up to Jerusalem. But we know that in Jericho, as they cross over the Jordan River, they cross in. And just beyond the river is the city of Jericho. And when they get to Jericho, all of a sudden the people have heard about them. I'll read the story. I'm not going to read it all, but about Rahab. Rahab said, we've heard about you. We've heard that God has given you this place. That's amazing. The testimony. Now notice what it says. Because the children of Israel, none went out and none came in. In other words, their city was closed off. There was no coming in. There was no going out. Because they were scared of the children of Israel. Now notice the promise in verse 2. And the Lord said unto Joshua, see, I have given into thine hand Jericho, and the king thereof, and the mighty men of valor. And ye shall compass the city and all the men of war and go round about it, the city once. Thou shalt do 6 days. 6 days you go around it. He said, and the seven priests shall bear before the ark seven trumpets of ram's horns. If you study that out, that's the horn of Jubilee. That was the horn that they would have blown on the day of Jubilee and 7 year of Jubilee. And it says in verse 5, it says, and it shall come to pass. I love when the Lord says that. It shall come to pass. He didn't say, well, I hope you do a good job. I hope this works. That's usually how my plans say. Right? You try to build something or do something, you're like, man, I hope this works. Kind of like this sermon. And then verse 5 says, that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when ye shall hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall ascend up every man straightway before him. Isn't that amazing? God is giving him a plan. Joshua, this is the plan. If you're not in partnership with the Lord, by the way, you read how the Lord Jesus gave Joshua favor in the people's eyes. He said, just as I gave favor to Moses, the people to Moses, I'll give you favor with the people also. And I think I told you this a few weeks ago, is that sometimes the Lord's plan is not going to make sense. Amen? By the way, I've come to know this, the longer I've been in a Christian, is this. If it makes sense, it's usually not of the Lord. If you can figure it out with your brain, it's usually not the Lord. But if it doesn't make sense, by the way, I thought about this today. I was like, well, Lord, why sometimes does your way don't make sense? And then He reminded me that we're to live a life of faith. If it makes sense to me, I don't really need faith. But if it doesn't make sense, I go, okay, Lord, step out there. So can you imagine Joshua telling the people, all right, I got the plan. I told you this last week. And they're, you know, they all gather around. They're like, all right, he's gonna get some sticks out. We're going to draw a tactic how we're going to attack this city. But Joshua didn't. Joshua said, okay, 6 days, we're going to walk around it once. Seventh day, we're going to walk around it seven times. And on that seven times, they're going to blow the trumpets. And the walls are going to fall flat. Who's in? Right? Okay, Joshua, why don't you come to an infirmity tent over here? You know, and we'll sit you. And that's not what they did it? Nowhere in there do you ever see the people disagreeing with Joshua. Right? Not in the scripture. You don't see where they're going, Joshua, I got a question. Yes, we got a question in the back there. That sounds crazy. I don't see that in the Word of God. All I see is that when you read on down in this chapter, it says the people did so. Why? Because that was God's plan. It takes faith to believe in God's plan. Note, in Isaiah 55, 8, it says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways." Saith the Lord, His way is not our way. His thoughts are not our thoughts. If it makes sense to us with our mind, it's usually not of the Lord. We got to realize that God's plan for our life may not make sense, but we trust in His plan. There's times I'm like, Lord, I don't know what in the world you're doing, but I trust you. Could you imagine if you were sitting in this auditorium tonight and God pricked your heart through the Word of God, through the Holy Spirit of God, and said, I want you to go to Tanzania and be a missionary. If you're sitting here tonight, you got a good job, your family, everything's worked out good, that wouldn't make sense to you. But if it's God's plan, you trust that plan and God works out that plan. And you live a life of victory. You live a life where God begins to use your life to affect others and to affect the world and to affect His kingdom for His glory. Now I'll give you the last thing, and I'm trying to hurry. The last thing, we see the Lord's power. Not only the Lord's partnership, not only the Lord's plan, but in order to live in victory, we see the Lord's power. I want you to notice in chapter 6, verse 6. Matter of fact, just go to verse 15 for the sake of time tonight. Verse 15, let's read verse 15 and verse 6. I want you to notice the Lord's power. And it came to pass on the seventh day that they rose up early about the dawning of the day. By the way, they were excited about God's plan. It wouldn't hurt us to be excited about God's plan. You know what would be, don't shoot me. It'd be excited if we got excited about teaching our Sunday school classes and got here early. Hallelujah. Yeah, I just lost all of you right there. Or if, you know, we were excited about church, we ought to, amen? Yeah, sorry. You need my rosary now. Verse 15 says, "And it came to pass on the seventh day, they rose up early about the dawning of the day, and compassed the city after the same manner seven times, only that on the day they compassed the city seven times. And it came to pass at the seventh time, when the priest blew with the trumpet, Joshua said unto the people, Shout, for the Lord hath given you the city." I love that. Notice verse 20. Verse 20 says, "So the people shouted." That's the obedience part. The obedience. He says the priest blew with the trumpets, and it came to pass when the people heard the shout of the trumpet that the people shouted with a great shout that the wall fell down flat, so that the people went up into the city, every man straightway before him, and took the city. That's amazing to me. That here we see that God's power, when we are in God's partnership, when we're in God's plan, that God's power prevails, not yours. Not your power. And Jesus said this. He said in Matthew 28, 18, you know this. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, "All power is given unto me, both in heaven and in earth." And if all power has been given to the Lord Jesus Christ, and we see in chapter 5 that the Lord Jesus is standing there with His sword drawn, and that He said, "Joshua, I will fight for you," it's going to be all right. Amen. Because why? He has all power. Amen. I don't know about you, but I don't like not having power. I'm talking spiritually, physically too. But I can tell whenever I'm not in partnership with the Lord, and I'm not in the Lord's plan, because I know my power and my strength is weak. And Joshua and them could have marched around that city till they were blue in the face, and they could have had every marksman, they could have had every mighty man of valor, they could have had every sword sharpened, they could have had every plowshare that was sharpened, they could have had all of the people. But I'm telling you, if the Lord's not in it, all they would have done is marched around there and got themselves killed. And see, in your life and in my life, if we don't get into the partnership with the Lord and His plan and allow His power to work through us, we're going to see more defeat than we will victory. You're going to be raising that little white flag and saying, "Lord, I give up." Why? Because we're not fighting with the Lord, allowing Him to fight with us. You ever heard the song, Joshua fought the battle of Jericho? Actually, the song says Joshua fought the battle of Jericho. It's actually the originals. But Joshua really didn't do no fighting. He just did what the Lord told him to do, and he went in and he took the city. You see, God has some walls in your life he wants to break down. And he wants you to conquer some new territory in your life. He wants you to live in some victory in your life. But here's the problem. We're like, Lord, I'm kind of happy where I'm at. Right? Lord, I like this ground right here. By the way, if I remember right, there was 2.5 tribes that wanted to stay on the other side of Jordan. Now, they were here helping them fight, but they were going to go back and live on the other side of Jordan. Why? Because they were like, we're just happy where we're at. You see, there. I don't care if that was good land over there. That was the land where God didn't want them. God had promised them a land, and he wanted them to inhabit that land. Listen to me tonight, Christian. If you're here tonight and you're saved, God has a land for you to dwell in where there's victory in that land. There's milk and honey that flows in that land. You say, oh, is everything just going to turn out peachy? Probably not. You're still going to have battles. When they entered into the land, there were still cities that they had to take. And later on, we're going to look at here in just a couple more chapters, there were 33 cities that Joshua began to take over just like that. God began to give them victory after victory after victory. The only thing that held them back one time is in the next chapter, in chapter 7, when Achan took of what he shouldn't have took of. And that held them back. Sin will take your victory and turn it into defeat just like that, won't it? And listen to me now. Here's what I want you to see. In Philippians 2:13 it says, "For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do His good pleasure." In other words, God says, "Give me your life and I'll take it and I'll use it. And I'll give you victory because He's victory." The reason we're not seeing victory in our life is because we're not allowing God's power to work through our lives. Listen to me tonight. I steer off the road every now and then. By the way, you ever just kind of run over those little rumble strips? I love doing it when my wife's asleep. But, you know, every now and then, I don't care how good of a driver you are, you hit those rumble strips, right? I can be looking at the road and just, and scare you to death, won't it? But you know what? In the Christian life, God has put rumble strips in. See, we're to walk the straight and narrow, right? And when you begin to stray off of that, God has put rumble strips on there. That's called the Holy Spirit conviction. And you know, you can disregard that, but I want to tell you, when you get in the ditch, you get in trouble. You get off of the main highway. You get off of the straight and narrow. You get off over here where God is not necessarily, He's not working in your life. You're doing your own thing. And can I remind you, that is so dangerous. I've seen people, matter of fact, me and Pastor and the boys were coming back one day, and we were coming back from Oklahoma, and a lady passed us in the ditch. And I was like, what in the world is this lady doing? Well, she hit the little thing there and went airborne. Like, I thought, man, she's part of the Dukes of Hazzard. And man, she landed, and she went through a fence row and landed up on a tree. I was like, well, that's not good. So we pulled over, helped her, and I was like, you know what, that's the Christian life. It really was an illustration in my head that's a Christian life. You get off of where God wants you to be, and you're going to get yourself in trouble. And can I remind you, you may get away with it for a little while, but eventually you're going to hit an obstacle in your life that you are not going to be able to go through, and you're going to hit it head on. And God's going to have to do something to get your attention. But I will tell you, tonight, if you'll just partner with God, if you'll just get in His plan, not yours, Lord. Matter of fact, what's amazing is that when Christ was on the, in Golgotha, He said, "Lord, not my will, but thine be done." Isn't that amazing that He was giving us an example? But also, we got to allow God's power to work in our life. When's the last time you saw God's power in your life? When's the last time you've seen God do something great in your life? Every time we put people in this baptistry, I see God's power. I was thinking about Micah last time. I was thinking about some of these kids we put in this baptistry. I'm like, man, God is still powerful. He's still so powerful. And we was over at the clocks the other night, and Brother Rick was telling me his testimony, and Fawn was telling us, and I was thinking, man, God's so powerful that He can take lives that are so broken and that He can make them whole again. He can take any of us tonight and He can use us. All we have to do is partner with Him. We have to do His plan, His will, and we have to allow His power to work. God's not some God up there going, a puppet master. God's not that way. If He was that way, He would have never allowed Eve and Adam to sin in the garden. God has never been a puppet master. God has always wanted people who were willing. Tonight, are you willing? Let's stand. Here's about I'll pray, and then Pastor, you come. Father, we love you. Father, thank you for a life that we can live, a victory. Thank you for Joshua. Thank you for the example we have of his life, and Lord, you working through him. God, tonight, Michael Wiggins desires to partner with you, and God, to do your plan and your will. And God, I want to see your power in my life, and Lord, in those around me. God, I want to see your power working. And Lord, through our revival, we saw that. Lord, and I just pray you continue to work here at Heritage Baptist Church. Lord, help us all to just realize that we need you and that we can't do it on our own. God, I love you, and I thank you for all that you've done. I ask you to bless this invitation. In Christ's name, amen. Pastor.
Amen. We need to follow his plan. We follow his plan, then we receive, you know, him fighting for us and his power. That's what we want in our Christian life. Let's turn to hymn 118, I Need Thee Every Hour. Let's sing that.